Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is truly a day that God has made. We all should rejoice and be glad in it. This is a time that God has allowed us to come together after, you know, the busy times of our day, with all of the trials and tribulations that we face on every side. God is set this time aside for us, and I am glad about it. I would like to say good evening to everyone, and of course I'm delighted and excited that you took time from your busy schedule to come and be with us on Wednesday night. We have been meeting here for over a year and 9 months, and God has saw fit to let us to continue to meet this way. But as always, I have to give all honor and glory to God, the head of my life, to the Holy Spirit, and also to the Son Jesus. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you again, because it's really a pleasure and an honor. And as we get ready to go on the program tonight, I want you to know that the topic is going to be God is in control. God is in control. And for those of you who have your Bibles, we're going to be in Isaiah 14 and 24. And we're going to be in Isaiah 46 and 10. So for those who have their Bibles, from looking at the screen, I know we have some new callers. I just want you to know that when the program is over, if you have any comments or concerns or questions, you may press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic and you'll be able to come through. I also want you to know if you're calling by phone that whatever's in your background or whatever you're doing cannot be heard on a radio station unless you press the one button and I open the mic. As always, anyone who would like to open us up with prayer or anyone who would like to sing a song or someone have a testimony or someone want to just give praise to God, you know, you could press the one button and I'll let you pray in. That's our topic for tonight. And what we're going to do at this time is we're going to have prayer. Once we have the prayer, we're going to go and I'm going to play a song that I think is very fitting for this lesson tonight. The name of the song is The Master Plan. God has a master plan. And I see that my grandson then called in, and usually when he do that, he's ready to pray. So since no one else has pressed the one button, I'm going to go ahead and open the mic for Madison, and we'll let him pray. Good evening, Madison.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Words of Wisdom. Now let's open up with prayer. God, thank you for this day, another Wednesday, that we can learn about you to get closer to you. And please, let everybody stay on the right track. Don't get deserved or their phone ringing so they can listen to you, God, your stories, and how you are able to be our salvation, the one and only God who died for our sins. Please, God, please, thank you. Thank you for letting us wake up this morning and getting ready for tonight, Wednesday, and learning about our lesson. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, thank you so much, Madison, and that was a beautiful prayer. Would you like to tell the people anything else tonight?
Yes. If you have anything to say or anything you'd like to do with my grandma, like talk over about something in the Bible, that's her number.
You got to tell them the number. Well, for those who want to have... I'm sorry, go ahead, darling.
It is 504-289-9501.
Thank you so much, Madison. And I appreciate you calling. Thank you so much. Okay. That was my grandson, Madison Andrew Chambers, 10 years old. I'm going to go ahead and play the song. And as I said earlier, it's the master plan. When we come back, we're going to go straight into the lesson. So those who don't have your Bibles, get your Bibles, because this is Bible study. When you study in any course or you in school and you have to study, you study with a Bible, with a book. And Bible study is, you need the book, the Bible. So I'm going to play this song, and we'll come back and get into the lesson.
Oh,
that was a master plan. You know, when we study the Word of God, I have noticed several things. But lately I noticed that, you know, the Bible to me, it appears to be like 360. Because every subject you talk upon, it goes back to the same thing. You know, the Word of God has everything in it for us. And it is allowing us to know over and over and over. And it tells us things one more time. And then it tells us something again one more time. Like it's just helping to build us up and to allow us to believe and to have trust in it. And that's just the way the Word of God is. If you read it or if you listen to it, you can listen to one preacher at 3 and listen to a preacher at 7, and they probably may be preaching some of the same things. That should tell you something. That's talking about the reality of the Word of God, that how true it is. And you see, the night lesson is just reminding us that God is in control. Because I think at certain parts and times of our lives, we forget that. We could be in a situation and we could have problems going on at every side and we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we can't make it, but we got to realize that God is in control. And if you trust in God, which trusting God means that you believe that he knows best, that he will bring you through. God is in control, not of some things, but all things. And when I do our lesson, I always like to give you a background. And the scripture tonight is coming from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a book in the Bible that can be found in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a prophet of God. A prophet was someone that God spoke to give a word to his people about what was his plan and what he was going to do and when and how it was going to unfold. You see, in the Bible, there's 17 prophets, well, 17 books of prophecy in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, 12 of those books are called major prophets. I'm sorry, 5 books are major prophets and 12 is minor prophets. Now, you might say, what makes a prophet a major or what makes a prophet a minor? Depending on the amount of writings that they did, how big their book in the Bible is, how much information they're given as far as the size of the book will make them a major or a minor. You see, Isaiah was like first in line to be a major prophet because God revealed a lot of his things to him, so his writing was larger. You see, the people in this time could have been rescued by his words of warning because he always told them what God was going to do, what God has done or what God is going to do in the future. But instead, they refused to believe him. Isn't that the way the people is today? We refuse to take heed to the warnings of the Word of God. God has supplied us with examples in the Bible. And everything is an example for you to decide either what to do or what not to do. If you see a character in the Bible that's being blessed by God and doing what he's doing to receive the blessing, then you do that also because what God did for one, he'll also do for you. But if you see a person in the Bible and they're being punished or they're receiving a curse or they you know, or whatever, because they're disobedient, then don't do it. You see, with the passing of many centuries, however, Isaiah's word have cast a shadow on all history. You see, Isaiah was a true prophet. And the way you can tell a true prophet from a false prophet is what they prophesied came true. You see, Isaiah gave us a lot of word about the Messiah and his coming. Isaiah gave us a lot of words about the intention of God for his people. You see, Isaiah was active. He was active as a prophet, and he was a prophet during the reign of 5 kings. But he did not set out to be a prophet. Come on now. God is in control, and he chose Isaiah before the foundation of the world to be his prophet. God's glory filled the earth, and Isaiah realized his sinful nature. And the confession of his personal sins brought the response of God cleansing to equip him for surgery, for service. See, when God's glory shadowed the earth and Isaiah saw it, he was able to see his sin nature. And God was able to equip him and cleanse him for service. You see, Isaiah 6 and 8 said, here is where we can see Isaiah called by God. Isaiah stated that he heard the voice of the Lord asking whom he could send and who would go for us. You see, the us in that particular scripture is the triune God, which is the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, Isaiah's encounter with God permanently affected his character. The prophet himself is now a changed man. You see, after seeing God's glory, it helped him to remove the burden of his guilt and worry that he was carrying around with him. Even though that's in the Old Testament and Jesus wasn't born, God still had cleansing power. Come on now. There was still grace in the Old Testament. God allowed Isaiah to have grace, and it removed his guilt and worry of sin. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? And then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You see, God had already consecrated and prepared him for his purpose, and now Isaiah's answer God called. God has called all of us for service. You may not understand what your call is. Some of you may. Some of you may think God wouldn't even call you. But you see, God is a God of purpose. Nothing that God ever did or will ever do did not have a purpose. God is a God of purpose and a faithful God. And when God made each and every one of us, it was with a designed purpose, and he had an intended purpose for our lives. You see, God is calling you. And he just want to know if you would say, as I did say it, send me. You see, God created all of us with a purpose. Keep in mind, if God calls you, he has already made the provisions for you to accomplish his will so that he will receive the glory. We were all created to give God glory, but God didn't ask us to do it on our own. He provided the provisions. You see, God uses who he wants for what he wants whenever he wants, because we all belong to God for his purpose. And we should always remember that God is in total control. And now we're going to look at the scripture with Isaiah 14 and 24. And this is such a lovely scripture, and it's something that you could hold on to. And the scripture reads, the Lord of hosts has sworn. Now, when you're in the Old Testament and it says, like, the Lord of hosts has sworn, the Lord of hosts is God. And Isaiah is telling the people that God has sworn to him the rest of this verse. When you be in the Old Testament, you can hear God talking to his people, because in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. But in the New Testament, God lives inside of his people. So whenever some people want to skip the old and come to the new because they say we don't live by the law no more. But God, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. And some things in the new you won't be able to comprehend unless you go back to the old. If you want to meet God and dance with God and look at God and be graced by God, you got to go to the Old Testament. And here in this scripture tonight, the Lord of hosts has sworn. This is Isaiah talking about what God told him. And he said, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. You see right here, Isaiah is telling us that God said, whatever I thought about, whatever's my master plan, you best believe it's going to come to pass. And he said, whatever I have purpose, that's purpose in our lives, purpose in creation, purpose for everything, he said, so shall it stand. You see, the thoughts of God are complete. Everything that you will ever need was in him. And in his thoughts, and they all should come to pass. You see, God's unique purpose for his creation was to be our God and for us to be his people. He would supply everything that we need to give him glory, honor, and praise with our obedience. That he didn't say you have to supply. Everywhere you go in the Bible, it's saying God will give, God will grant, God will deliver, God will help, God will rescue, God will deliver, God will pick you up. Come on now. And isn't that enough for us to believe? But he will supply everything that we need to give him glory, honor, praise with our obedience. You see, God's purpose is his will, and his will is his word. Before the beginning and through all eternity, God said what he said, and you best believe it, it shall stand. You got to remember that everything that happened is either caused or allowed by God for the lives of the believers. When God spoke everything into existence, everything was formed, and he had you in mind at the time, and he is working it out for your good daily. Listen to what I'm saying again. When God spoke everything into existence, I didn't say some things, I said everything. So with that everything, I'm talking about tonight. If God allowed you to live 3 more years, I'm talking about them 3 years. I'm talking about that day you graduated from high school or when your mama brought you home from the hospital. You see, when he created, when he spoke everything into existence, everything was formed and he had you in mind. And since that time, he's been working it out for your good. Can you believe it? You see, God has things in store for you that you will never be able to comprehend or explain. You see, Isaiah 64:4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what you have prepared for him that waited on you. So what that's telling us now, we don't have a clue all that God had, but we have to wait for it. Come on now. So I guess that's dealing with patience as well. Here we see that God has everything under control for those who wait on him. You cannot imagine the abundant life in store for you. You know, the Bible teaches us that our latter will be better than our beginning. Do you believe it? Wait on it and receive it. Wait on the Lord and you will see his salvation. And I want to tell everybody tonight, when we talk about salvation, most of the time, people imagine the hereafter. And when they say, see the salvation of the Lord, that's see the mighty hand of grace and mercy working in your life. Salvation means to be preserved or delivered from destruction, difficulties, or evil. So, you can already be preserved on the other side. So it must be talking about preservation here. Come on, hallelujah. You see, I wanna receive salvation then, but I wanna bask in the salvation of right here, right now. You see, salvation is not just for the afterlife. It is for the here and now. You guys got to remember that. Learn how to walk in the salvation of the God. Salvation was granted by what? Grace. What is grace? Grace was Except by what? Faith. So if you got grace, grace is the thing that allows you to make it through the storms. You see, it's the grace of God that brings you to a place of righteousness. It's grace that allows you to grow. You know that scripture in 2 Peter 2 and 13 say, grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord. That's the grace that is granted through salvation, but not just for over there, for right now today. I'm being saved daily. I don't know about you. I'm walking salvation. I try to see the salvation of God in everything that I do, every place that I go. Salvation, remember that. It's not just for the hereafter. It's for now. And if we look at Isaiah 46 and 10, it says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pledges. God's talking again, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that have not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pledges. God's telling you from the beginning, before the beginning to the end of this life and all the way through eternity, I will do all my pledges. God's saying, I'm going to get it one way or another. I'm going to get it from you. I'm going to get it not from you, but I'm going to get it. You see, God doesn't need us to accomplish what he needs to do. We need him to have a decent life, to have success in life. Don't get it twisted. When you read your Bible, you're not doing God a favor. God already knows the Bible. He inspired men to write all those 66 books. Come on now. When you pray, God just want to hear from you, but he don't have to have you to pray to him for him to be in existence. When you read the Bible, it's not for God, it's for you, because God gave us the Bible of his so we could have knowledge of him, that we could grow and grow into more and more, and we could change and be changed. You know, I said one time that growth is change is inevitable. You see, everything changed. Shoot, the day October the 1st, 2014, and you ain't never saw it before. So it changed. It's not no longer September, it's October. See, change is inevitable. But you see, growth in the knowledge of God is an option. You have to choose, like the Bible says, choose this day. Get committed this day. Understand a little bit more this day. Because God said, I will do all my pledges. You have to remember this. God began with the end in mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know how many people don't begin with the end in mind and have all these failures? God began with the end in mind. When God began, he knew the end. That's what this scripture is telling us. When God said in Genesis 1:1, let there, everything was established and would come to pass in its own time. Hallelujah. And in its own season. And you got to take that and you got to hold on to that, because you see, some people believe that everything should happen when they want it to happen. It's not fast enough. It's not enough. It's not good enough. I don't believe it's going to come. I'm not worthy. You see, but in Genesis 1:1, when it said, let there everything was established and would come to pass in its own time, in its own season. As the scripture stated, he declared the end from the beginning. The scripture also stated that there are things that are not yet done. Come on now. Everything in the word of God is not revealed. And yes, God thinking is so far from ours till we can't comprehend him totally. but he allows us to know his attributes and things about him and how he operates in his word of God. But in his declaring of all things, if he declare it, it will come to pass, but it would be on his time, not our time. You see, God used prophets in the Old Testament to give his people messages, dreams, visions of what to look for as his plan unfold. Come on now. Come on. God uses, I'm going to read it again. God uses prophet in the Old Testament to give his people messages, dreams, and comprehend visions of what to look for as his plan unfold. You see, God is truly in control. Yeah, we can't rest. God say he never intended for our Christian life and walk to be all of the struggles that we're putting on ourselves. God says it's as simple as looking at the palm of your hand with your eyes. But why are there so many struggles? Because we can't comprehend that God is in total control and let him rule and be in control of our lives and submit unto his power. It's only when we can enter into rest. You see, once we understand and comprehend this as truth, and we accept it as truth and an undeniable fact, it's the only time we can rest, trust, believe, and obey what God has done already in the past, believe that, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do for his people. The book of Revelation tell you what's going to happen. You know, the prophets telling you what's happening. The Paul is telling you what to look for. You see, God is the creator of everything, and nothing was created without him. God will not leave his children in the dark. Jeremiah 29:11-14 say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord." That's God speaking in the book of Isaiah. He's telling Isaiah, "I know the plans I have, plans to profit you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you can call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me with your whole heart, and I will be found by you." If he told it to Isaiah and he told it to the people, then he's talking to you right now. Take that scripture and hold on it, because he said he knew the thoughts he had for you. Come on now. That's sweet. You see, this should bring us great comfort and help us to alleviate some of these fears, some of these fears of overwhelmness. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We are a bunch of fearful people, and I don't mean fear like looking at the peekaboo. Things that happen in our lives bring fear in our lives. We might not classify it as fears, but that's what it is, uncertainty and worry. The Bible tell us not to worry. It didn't tell us not to be concerned. Learn the difference between the two. We must learn how to wait on God before our thoughts, because our thoughts are nothing like God's thoughts. That's what God say. And our ways are far from anything that you could imagine. Because of this, we should praise God. Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well." When we recognize who God truly is, come on, I'm going to read this slow. I'm going to say this slow. When we recognize who God truly is, understand his power, and study the word, we would have to admit that our arms are too short to box with God. This is not a scripture, but it's true. When we think about boxing, we think about a battle. You see, in a battle, there are enemies. And some of us really act like God is the enemy. If he loved me, he would help me now. If he cared about me, he would show up now. We must remember that our time is not his time. Be patient and wait on the Lord, as the scriptures say. Think about how you treat your enemies. You don't want them around you. You don't talk to them. You don't want them to have anything to do with your life. And it seems like that's the way some of us act with God. Plenty of us don't want to be in a place where he dwells in the praise of his people. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, you'll say, well, then you don't have to go to church to be saved. No, you don't have to go to church to be saved. And I've been hurt by the church. Yeah, you've been hurt on jobs. You keep going. You know, you could be hurt in any other facet in this world, look like, over and over and over again, but it doesn't make an impact like it do with the church. Somebody in the church do something, and I'm not saying it's right, but it's all people, and nobody's perfect, and they all have on flesh, and everybody make mistakes. But they hurt you in the church, you leave the church, and you don't come back. But you could go on that job and get ridiculed and talked down to day after day after day and complain about how unfair it is, how unrighteous, or how somebody hurt you. But you get up in that morning, you go back to work. I'm not telling you things I'm guessing about. I'm telling you what I know. But they say some of us do not want to dwell in the places where people praise him. We don't talk to him often because we don't pray often. And we haven't submit our lives over him to control. Please don't go in combat against God, because we are not in a battle with God, but God will fight our battles. How you like that? See, Satan make us get things twisted. Satan make the truth appear to be a lie. And he try to make lies to be the truth. You know, like I say, Satan can only play in our head, so he play in our head. And then he try to get us to accept his perceptions. And if we're not paying attention, his perception become our reality. And now we taking it as that truth, but you're just all backwards and all the way wrong. You see, the concept of total control of God over everything is called his sovereignty. That's a word, if y'all don't know about it, you should look it up and you should hold on to it, because that's one of the main attributes of God, sovereignty of God. You see, nothing gives us strength and confidence like the unless you really understand the sovereignty of God in your life. You see, God's sovereignty is defined as his complete and total independent control over everything that he created, every event, every circumstances, at every moment in history. And you see, his sovereignty lets us know that he is not subject to none, come on now, and absolutely independent. You see, that's why when God is for you, who can be against you? And that's why whatever you need, God have it. You see, when God get ready to do something for you, God don't have to go into counsel and ask nobody, is it all right? You see, when Satan got ready to tempt Job, Satan had to go and get permission from God. Come on now. The sovereignty of God lets us know that he is subject to none, influenced by none, and he's absolutely independent. You see, God has a master plan for his creation, and he knew and provided everything that would be needed in and through our lives for our success and his glory. God didn't leave anything out. Nothing. So if you short about something and you think, God didn't leave nothing out. You know, somewhere in the Bible I read and I heard this, that everything you ask for, God has already given it in a spiritual realm. But some of the circumstances and situation and us being out of order, it can't be administered to us. So get yourself in order and pay attention, because God did not leave anything out. You see, you must believe it to achieve it. In achieving it, you will understand that God is in control and that we should align ourselves with the word of God, which is his will. If you praying for something that don't align up with the word of God, you could sit down under the mulberry tree for the rest of your life and you will not get it. For God to give things that's out of his will, he would have to go against his nature, and he's not going to do that. He allowed his son to go to Calvary when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and asked him to take that cup. When he allowed his son to be nailed on that cross because he needed a sin sacrifice. And to go against that would be him going against his nature. That's why they say God doesn't change and he doesn't lie. And that's why you could trust him. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He never showed up to you and changed. You see, God is not finding out what's going to happen as events unfold. He is constantly, actively running things, not some things, but all things here and now. Don't think he needs your cooperation or your help or your exercise, the exercising of your free will to bring his plan to pass. This would put us in control over him, which would make us a god. You see, that's what the devil tried to get you to think, and you get the big head. Come on now. You see, the devil is a liar. This is the same trick he used in the garden with Adam and Eve. We have to stop trying to be God. See, Eve, he told her, if you eat this, you're going to know like God. And she wanted that. But you got to get away from them tricks of Satan. Let God be God, and you be the best that you can be. Our wills are only free to the extent that God allows us that freedom. And believe me, no more further. No one's will trump the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. You see, if we abide in his word and allow his word to abide in us, not just hearers, but become faithful doers, then we could ask and it shall be given. God has established a wonderful plan for his people. That include every one of us, y'all. And in his plan, he has spelled out in his word what he will do. He has already shown you what he has done, and he's always telling us what he is willing to do. You see, but it also states what is expected of us. You see, we have to study to know the promises and the provisions that is in the will of God for you. See, so many people ain't asking God for what they deserve that he done had in the will, and the will was bust open when Jesus died. That's another story, but if somebody want to know what I'm talking about, you could press the one button after the end, because I just don't have enough time right here, but I got some more time on the back end. But you see, when that will was bust open and that will was opened up, come on now, somebody had to die for the will to be bust open, just like in a natural will is not open until the person who wrote the will has passed. Jesus died and the will was broke open and it had all the provisions. Come on now, and all of the promises for you. But you see, ain't nobody reading the will. You see, the Testament, the Old Testament and the New Testament, when somebody died, when you go to get a will made, it says last will and testament. And God got an Old Testament and he's got a New Testament. And in it is the provisions for you and the promises. But you got to read it. When Jesus said we are now heirs, how could we be heirs? He was letting us know we heirs because we are in the estate. Hallelujah. And the will was bust open. You better go get yours. And don't play hate on me for trying to get mine. Check out the will. God has put all of the provisions and promises in there for you. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You see, when Job was being tested by the devil in the process, lost all that he loved, and when he passed the test, God restored him. You see, God even controlled over the prince of the air, which is Satan, the adversary, the deceiver, the father of lies, the fallen angel, which is Satan. Satan had to get permission, as I said earlier. You see, God gave Satan permission to do certain things to Job, but he couldn't do nothing beyond what God allowed him. And that's how God is working in your life. But you got to believe it, because the scriptures say God doesn't allow any temptation that comes to you that is not common to man. When he say not common to man, it means that it has already happened to somebody else. He's not making up new temptations just to hurt you when you feel like you in your pity party and you feel so personal, like the things you're going through ain't never happened before. He say, I'll never let nothing happen to you that is not common to man. And he said, there will never be a temptation that come upon you that you cannot, that I won't help you to bear and give you a way to escape. I mean, that should give us enough rest right there. What more do we want? I ain't say you guys. What more do we want from God? But do you believe it? And if you believe it, please begin to enter into rest. And as I close tonight, I just want to say the only way to trust God's sovereignty and rest in it is to know him. Learn his attributes, people. Know what he has done, what he is doing, and what he plans to do in each and every one of your lives. You see, we can trust God. We can't trust someone we don't know. And there's only way to know God, and that's through his word. I want to let you know tonight that there's no magic formula to make us spiritual giants overnight. No mystical prayer to pray to mature us or to build our faith or to make us towers of strength and give us confidence. That can only happen by you putting in the work. There is only the Bible, the single source of power that will change our lives from the inside out. But it takes effort and everyday diligence to know God, who is truly in control of everything. And if you allow his word to fill your mind and heart, and you learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, the sovereignty of God will become clear to you, and we will rejoice because we will know intimately and trust completely that God, who controls all things for his perfect intended and purpose, intended for his perfect intended purpose from the beginning and before the beginning, in the middle and all through eternity, he had you in mind. And that's our lesson for tonight. God is truly, truly in control. And I want to know if anybody would like to comment on the lesson. I see a lot of callers, that's new numbers that coming in. If you want to press the button and say hi, if anybody want to pray, if you have a prayer request, for those people that's listening on the internet, there's a number on the screen for the call-in number. If you call that number in and your number comes into the studio, and you press the one button, I can open a mic and you can talk as well. But you know, I just feel grateful because God, being who he is, we don't have no little play God. We don't have no idol God. We got a mighty God. A God that can do exceedingly abundantly all that you could ask or imagine. A God that'll stick closer to you than a brother. A God that he said he'll be the mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless, and he's working it out for your good, and he's going to make you be the head and not the tail, and he's going to allow you to be the lender and stop being a borrower. You know, that's what he said. And if he said it, the scripture in Isaiah tell us tonight that if he said it, it's going to come to pass. We got to just get ourselves in position, people. We got to trust him more with our lives. Because you see, when we begin to trust him, he says so easy, because trusting God only is only saying that you believe that he knows best. You see, when we take things in our own hand and we do things our own way and we making it up as we go and we not taking in consideration that there's no right way to do wrong and we compromising with our spirit and we compromise our Christian walk and we compromising here and we turn it over to Jesus. What did he say? I'm going to work it inside out. There's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13. He said, it's I, God, this is God. God said, it's I that work it in you to will and to do my good pledges. When I read that scripture years ago, I came into some more rest. Now, did it make me perfect? No. But I'm pressing for the walk towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But God said, it's I that work it in you to will and to do my good pledges. He didn't say, you better find a way to please me. He said, I'm working in you to get what I want from you. Oh, hallelujah. What more could we ask for? And then he told you to be confident of this one thing. The wonderful work that he has started in you, he's able to complete it till Jesus come back again. Sound like a praise to me. God is such a good God. And I need to hear from some of you tonight. If God is laying anything on your heart to share with the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, I have a caller right now. Caller, your number is 248-346. Your mic is open. You can speak at this time.
Hi, Diane. This is Gladys. I just want to share with you that I am so glad that God put me in the right place to meet you last week. And actually, it wasn't last week. It was Monday night. So this week, I'm back home, and I will be sharing this summer with some of my friends. I really enjoyed the message tonight.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Gladys, and I was so excited you coming to Monday night Bible study on Monday night, and I thank God for you because, you know, I was able, God allowed me to see your spirit, and I look forward when you come back in town and be able to share with us again on Monday nights. But until then, you keep calling on Wednesday, and it's every Wednesday, and I got your number. Well, I'm going to write your number down. That's your cell phone number, the 248?
That's correct.
I'm going to write your number down where I can send you the notices on Wednesday, but it's every Wednesday, unless
okay.
I say that it won't be. But I have your number now, and I'm going to put it in the phone so when the notices go out on Wednesday reminding, you'll get yours. And we're not going to forget on Monday night, we're going to open the telephone. She came to Bible study and she was leaving town and she asked us something. It made sense. She said, when we do Bible study on Monday, could we please put the phone on speakerphone so that she could hear the Bible study through the phone? Where do you live?
I live in Pontiac, Michigan, right outside of Detroit.
She lives in Michigan, and she's going to get the Monday night Bible study through the speakerphone in our Bible study on Monday. God is doing his thing. And I want to say thank you for calling in. I'll be talking to you on Monday, and I'll see you back on Wednesday. You be blessed.
You too.
Thank you. I have another caller. The caller at 504-621. Your mic is open, 62199.
Hi, Diane. This is Cookie, and I just want to say I thank God for you, the messenger, tonight, and that he just continued to bless you, to be a blessing to me and all the others. And I'm just so excited my daughter was home tonight. So she got to share in the word, and she was just smiling, and she's 19, and she was just like joy all over her face. So I want to just say I thank God for the message tonight, and praise God.
And I tell you guys all the time, I like to hear encouragement, not that it's because, you know, if God gave me this assignment, I'm going to do it anyway. But God, when sometime when you say something, you talked about getting your daughter and letting her listen. Somebody else may do that. You know, so that's, you know, I'm not, you know, I say, you know, to call in with whatever you had, because you don't know how you could be a blessing to someone else. And I thank you for calling in, and I'll be looking back for you next week, and, you know, God's will, you be blessed.
Amen.
Be blessed. Thank you, Miss Cookie. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could say a prayer. You could ask for, you could make a prayer request. You could say a prayer. You could, you know, comment on a lesson or say how you know God is in control so you could cover someone else. I got another caller. The number is 504-2376. Your mic is now open and you could go over the air.
Hi, Diane. How you doing? I enjoy the message so much, and I'm so glad that I met and in this Bible study, and I'm getting so much out of it. I want you to pray for me and keep me to get stronger in the Lord. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Sister Sandra. Sandra is also a member of the Monday Night Bible Study, and I see that Monday night is in the house. They're getting double dosed. They get it on Monday, and they come back for Wednesday. God is truly in control, and I thank you, my sister, for calling in, and I pray that you be blessed, and God's favor be on all of us through the week, and we'll be able to meet back on Wednesday again. Is there any other callers? Is there any requests? Well, I'm going to ask you guys to pray for me. I'm going to ask that you keep me closely in your prayers. Pray for my family. Pray for my son, my sons, and pray for my daughter. And pray that God keep using my grandson. And you know, just pray. I just need prayer. And I'm asking each and every one of you to go to the throne of grace when you're in your prayer in my behalf. Pray for me. So if there's no other comments or concerns, it is now 9:29. We try to end the program at 9:30. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer benediction, because I want you to know that there's a blessing in benedictions. There's blessings in benedictions. So I'm going to say the prayer benediction, and then for those who love to keep listening to the music, I'll continue to play music until everyone is off the line. But let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person that came in and called in to receive the word from you. Lord, I pray that your word don't return void. Heavenly Father, this is not my Bible study, but it's our Bible study, and you have your way. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your illumination and your revelation. I can only give information. And Heavenly Father, we're going to trust you through this week. We ask that you just protect us, dear God. Allow favor in our lives, dear God. Help our finances, dear God. Build us up where we weak, and help us in our area of health. If there's anything wrong with anybody, dear God, I'm asking that you remove it. Heal us, dear God. Don't let us suffer. You told us to make our petition known. And we realize that it's not our will, because the lesson already told us that you're in control. But if it's your will, dear God, deliver us. Heal us, dear God. Give us favor, dear God, and that we can come back again on Wednesday night. I pray that everybody be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. And that was the benediction prayer. I will stay on the line if anyone decides they want to talk. Even after the music is playing, I can cut the music off and we'll listen to you. But this record is Send Me, and that's what Isaiah told God. Here am I, send me. Hallelujah. Y'all be blessed. Enjoy the music. It is now 9:31, and the music is going to start now. was on the line, I remember, and I know your numbers. There's Ms. B on the line, Britt, and I just want to say hello, Britt, and thank you for calling. And I'm asking that everybody touch and agree with Britt on behalf of the prayer request that she's sending up to God. I'm just asking that you all pray with her and pray for her. Her name is Britt. I'm asking that you do that because we are all one body. We one family. This is Wednesday night Bible study, and all of us belong to the family fellowship in the body of Christ, and we got to learn to pray for one another. Pray for Britt in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to put the music back on. Thank you. Is open.
Hello, everybody. Good night to y'all. And thank you, Ms. Diane, for asking everybody to pray for me. I need it. Lord knows that. And I would just want to say, you know, may the Lord, you know, continue blessing all of us and our families and helping us get throughout our daily lives. And may your teaching always be a reminder of the power of prayer and to keep inspiring us with the fact that God loves us all. And thank you.
Thank you so much for pressing the button, Britt. And I'm still asking you guys to lift Britt up in prayer. Lift her up on every side. That's our job. I'm not asking for something God don't want us to do. I'm asking us to do our job. She's requested prayer, and it is our job. And, Brittany, we will do that, and I pray that everything work out real good in your life and letting you know that God is in control. That God is in control of all things, not some things, and he's working it out for your good. But you got to trust him. So hold on to God's unchanging hand. Go ahead with your David. Hold on to his unchanging hand, and he will see you through. I pray that you be back on Wednesday and hope to see you at Monday night Bible study.
And I will be there. I will be there.
Thank you so much. Thank God.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Miss Brittany. Would anybody else like to say anything else? Okay, now, right now I can play more music. We could end the session because it's 9:40. If you would like to hear more music, press the one button on your phone. And I'll use that as a guide. All right. This end our program for Wednesday night, October the 1st. September is gone. September 2014 is gone to never be seen again. We are now in October. And I thank God for allowing us to see a brand new month with new mercies and grace. And this ends our Bible study for Wednesday. But I pray that God be with you until we meet again. In the mighty name of Jesus, you be safe. You be good. Because God loves you, and so do I. Thank you, and looking forward to seeing you on next week. God be with you until we meet again.